There is a no rule.
Long Talk Radio.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this one?
UCR.
Go.
We say and hope we want, give it to you non-stop. Any place, any time, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna settle. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Happy Thursday, everybody. This is No Rules, Just Mics, your favorite No Rules radio show that brings you the latest and sometimes controversial topics that you want to know about. I am Topher. As always, I'm always here for you guys, and I have my co-host Christian on the line. Christian, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. Excited to be back here on a Thursday, and happy to see we got some people in our chat room ready to go already. How are you doing these last few days since we last talked?
I'm doing great. I had a bit of a meltdown yesterday, but I'm doing much, much better today. Thank you for asking. And as always, we have Toku, who is going to be screening your calls tonight. We've got a jam-packed show for you guys, so I want you guys to tune in. But, of course, we kind of want to break it down for, you know, for everybody, because Christian and I do have 9-to-5 jobs, and, you know, the show definitely is something that's important to us. But, Christian, tell me how your weekend was and how your weekend is going to be.
All right. Well, my weekend is going to be pretty great. I'm excited. I'm going to be leaving for Connecticut tomorrow to go see my family. My nephew is getting baptized, so I'm excited about that. A pretty quick trip home. But I'm excited to go see them and hang out with everybody and, of course, see the nephew. So that's what's on the agenda for the weekend coming up. Last weekend, nothing too exciting. I don't even think we really went out. I think the girlfriend and I went out to eat like once. Really nothing exciting to report, unfortunately. A whole lot of yard work and being an old person. So, but this weekend will be a lot better, and have some better stories and such, I'm sure. What about you? How was your weekend?
My weekend past was good. It was busy. There was a lot of stuff going on. We did the whole Mother's Day thing, and to all the mothers that are out there, you know, happy Mother's Day to you all. I hope that your families did great things for you, because you guys absolutely deserved it. My mother and my mother-in-law and the mothers in our family, the guys did a Mother's Day appreciation luncheon type of thing, which was a lot of fun. It was pot roast and mashed potatoes and corn and, you know, all those other fun stuff. And we just kind of like wined and dined the women, you know, made sure their drinks were full and they had everything that they needed. It was a lot of fun. Weekend is going to be nothing but Matthew and I and Willow and our backyard, and maybe grilling out and maybe going to Folly Beach. So nothing big on that end. So, but what did happen in the last couple of days. And by the last couple of days, I mean, the 15th was mine and Matthew's third wedding anniversary. We've been together for almost 10 years, but we've been married for 3 years back on the 15th that just passed. So it's kind of a milestone for us. It was a lot of fun, a lot of memories. It was nice because we were looking back at the photos from the wedding. And it was really cool to see just everybody there and, you know, all the friends and family just showing their support. It was great. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can't believe it's been 3 years already. It seems like just yesterday we were hanging out at your house and, doing the wedding stuff with family and friends and just having a blast. It was such a good time. Like I said, I can't believe it's been 3 years already. Time is just going by really fast.
Yeah, it really is. I was thinking about that. I was walking Willow earlier today, and I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, it really has been 3 years, because 3 years ago we had three ferrets. And, you know, since then we've whittled down to no ferrets, but we now have Willow, who, you know, isn't taking the place of, but she's kind of the new addition. And anybody who's new listening, Willow is my new puppy, who turned 6 months old today. So she's 6 months old, and
nice.
We're very, very happy to have her. She's really kind of she was easy for Matthew to fall in love with, but it was tough for me because I still wasn't over the passing of my parents, and because it happened kind of suddenly. So I really wasn't quite ready, but she's really kind of wiggled her way into my heart, and you know, I can't imagine life without her. So it's interesting, just in 3 years, that, you know, how much has changed, and, you know, just the amazing things that life has, you know, really handed us. So I feel very, very fortunate to be here 3 years later, married to my best friend, and having such a great dog and a great job, and, you know, an amazing family that loves me and that supports me. You know, I couldn't be any happier. I couldn't be any happier.
Nice.
Yeah. And I'm still losing weight, so there you go.
Well, I'm down to,
what am I, 18, 19 pounds down now so far?
Nice.
So for those of you guys who are new, and I see that we have a lot of guests in the chat room, and you guys can absolutely become chatting members of the Blog Talk Radio family, that is Uncensored Radio, just by going and registering. It's free to register, it's free to listen to, and you guys get to kind of chime in the chat room. I know that many of you guys are anxiously waiting to hear what Karen Ashley has to say about why she's not returning to the Power Ranger reunion, and that's going to come up at 9. I hope you guys don't leave. We have a great show. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're just going to touch on it because I know that Karen has a lot that she has to say, and she definitely wants to clear the air. So I want you guys to all stay, but I would love for you guys to, if you're interested, logging on to and registering with Blog Talk Radio, and that way you guys can kind of interact with us over the next hour or two. So with that said, I want to move into the first topic. We'll get it out of the way. According to TMZ, and I read the article, and there was a quick follow-up to that, David Yost, everybody knows, is the original Power Ranger, original Blue Power Ranger from the Mighty Morphin Power Ranger series, was asked to come back to reprise his role for this big reunion that they're having. And because of the way that he was treated, because he was an openly gay man, and back in 1993, this was before Will and Grace, this was before the Fab Five, that's Queer After the Straight Guy. Queer Folk is a different show altogether. But, you know, he was ridiculed, he was made fun of, he was picked on, just the whole shebang. Not by any of the Rangers, but by the executives and the producers and the directors, you know. They all were just kind of, they're all just kind of mean to him. They were harassing him for being gay. And he essentially said that he's, you know, not going to do it because of his words. Were just that he's just not going to do it because of just the way that he was treated. And apparently Walter Jones, who is the original Black Power Ranger, states, and I quote, "I'm very sorry to disappoint the fans, as I would have loved to be a part of it." David, who he still keeps in touch with regularly, he's a very great guy, and it would have been fun to work together again on something we helped originate. So even Walter Jones is not going to do it, just on the sole purpose of what they did to him, what the producers and executives did to him back between 93 and 96 is when he was on the show. So, I mean, I think that's, you know, I think that's a really awesome story. It was, the Power Rangers has, you know, always been this hokey thing that kids have watched. And, you know, I've watched it when I was younger also. But it's interesting to see how much of a cult it actually has created. It kind of rivals what Star Wars and Star Trek, kind of, you know, their fan base. You know, they're all, when they have conventions, everybody tries to make it out there. When you see one of the past Rangers doing something, it's this big thing. And I really find that interesting because I think this is the first thing that I've been a part of, and I'm talking way too much, and I'll shut up very soon. The thing that I find interesting is that I'm actually, I've, you know, I was a part of that when I was younger, And now that I get to look at it in a different end, because Karen Ashley is a good friend of mine, it's really interesting just to kind of see how that transcended over the generations. I mean, we're going on 20 years. So I just think it's really interesting. And I love that there's still such a fan base where it hits international news, like TMZ. So, you know, my question to you guys is, you know, does he still have a right to be upset? And, you know, should he have done it for his fans? Or do you think he made the right decision? Christian, what are your thoughts? I know that you're not a huge Power Rangers fan, but, you know, what are your thoughts about that?
No, not a huge one, you know, not like you, but I did watch it a lot when I was a kid. My brother is younger than me by 4 years, so we did watch it. So I know some of the names that you're talking about, you know, from that original cast, and I know a little bit about the news, you know, again, with Karen having a tie into the Power Rangers and her show being out at 9. You know, I've learned a little bit more about the future generations of the show and things like that. But in any event, you know, obviously without being part of that cast myself or being in there during that time, as I hear Willow in the background.
Sorry.
No,
she loves
okay.
That damn squeaky toy between the hours of 8 and 9, I swear.
Yeah. She likes to interrupt me. It's the second week in a row. I mean, she just wants to be on the air. But anyway, you know, obviously I wasn't part of that cast or part of that crowd. I don't know exactly what happened, only what I've read. And
right.
What I've seen is, you know, if what David Yost is saying, and I don't know him personally, I don't know why he would lie, is talking about, yeah, I don't blame him for still holding a grudge against some of the people he used to work with. You know, they treated him badly. They used, you know, gay slurs when talking to him and teasing him and stuff. And even adding credence to what he said, the Walter Jones that you mentioned, who played the Black Power Ranger on the first big cast here in the U.S., he even said he was treated badly too. So it seems like that was an ongoing thing. It wasn't isolated by any means. So, yeah, I don't blame them at all for not wanting to take part of it, especially if those people are still involved in some respect. If they haven't
right.
gotten an apology from that group, there's no reason they should have to be there.
Right. I mean, well, if you look at it, you know, if you look at the first season, there was like the big macho karate guy who was obviously the leader because he looked like the leader who was the Red Ranger. And then you had the ditzy mall rat who was, you know, she was kind of like the girl who, you know, twirled her gum and said like all the time. And she was the Pink Ranger. And then they had the Asian girl as the Yellow Ranger and the Black Ranger was the black guy and the Blue Ranger was a nerd. I mean, they really kind of stereotyped, you know, I guess back in 1993, what society deemed what people should look like in what role. But it's really interesting to see as the Power Ranger generations have kind of evolved that those typecasts have actually been removed. I'm sorry, Tokyo, were you saying something?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to put in the chat room the exact tweet that actually ignited what TMZ was saying. And yeah, I do agree with what David said. I mean, you're getting treated like shit, getting called, and I'm sorry for using this word, but you're getting called the F derogatory term. I really hate that word. I really do. I'm sorry. But, you know, you're getting called that by these people who are supposed to be your friends and shit. What the hell? Really?
Right.
You know, there were rumors, you know, too, going back to, you kind of alluded to it, Topher, about on the show, like, the black guy was the Black Ranger, you know, which is, people are kind of like, oh, did that really? And then they had, I forget her name, I think it was, her last name was Trang, who was a Yellow Ranger. And then there was a girl who's a Pink Ranger, which is playing up to the gender, you know, roles, which, you know, no one made as big a deal about that, but it was always weird that they, like, matched up the minorities with, you know, colors or stereotypical colors. And there's always been those rumors, and it seems with all these things coming out, maybe there was something to it, even, you know, back then in the early 90s. And I'm sure Karen, she was part of it a little bit later, but I know when she comes on at 9, she's going to have a lot to talk about on this topic as well.
Exactly. So with that said, we're going to move on because we definitely want Karen to kind of air out her her opinion. You know, we don't want to stymie that. We're not trying to kind of take that over. So we're going to actually segue into a completely different topic. I am, and those of you who know me, I am a big Britney Spears fan, and I don't care if you guys like it or not. I'm a huge Britney Spears fan since she came out back in 1997, 98. But I was reading, she kind of plastic. She's all over the place because she now has this banging body. She's into yoga. She's really into taking care of herself. You know, she's really turned her life around since, you know, the chaos that was 2007. And let me tell you, if Britney Spears can make it through 2007, everybody can make it through their day. I tell you, she really had a rough year. But, I mean, there's so much that's going on with her. She's got this amazing body. If you go to cosmopolitan.com, I'm not a big Cosmo reader, but I'm going to put the link in the chat room. I guess Kristen's going to put the link in the chat room. So you guys can
put it up there.
I mean, she's really kind of transformed from this Cheeto-eating, fast-food-eating, kind of overweight lost cause to really kind of taking control of her own life, which is really nice. She's moving to Vegas. She's going to have her own headline show. I think it's going to be a permanent thing for her. So I know that her and Katrina Johnson are going to be fast friends. She has a new song coming out. It's going to be on the Murph 2 album. I don't remember that. I think it's called Ooh, Ooh, La or something like that, which means that there's room for a new album coming out this year. And she was on, I think it was USA Today, saying that she wants another baby and she wants a baby girl. You know? Not many people are into Britney as I am, but, you know, I want to know what your thoughts are. You can say that, you know, she's a lip syncer, you know, it's all auto-tuned. You know, I'm not even talking about that. Just, you know, it's interesting to watch somebody who really hit, you know, rock bottom, who's really kind of making, she's really paving her own path, and she's not the pop princess that she once was, but she's really, I think, for me, a force to be reckoned. Christian, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, when it comes to Britney Spears talk, I start to shrivel back a little bit. It's not my area of expertise, but I know that you are a big fan of Britney, and I know there are a lot of fans out there that still are. No, I mean, America loves a redemption story. People like to see people do well, especially people who have fallen on hard times. You know, in her instance, I think a lot of it was brought on, by her own actions, but... No, people are happy to see people do well, and, you know, I don't wish anything bad on her, so I'm glad to see things seem to be getting better. And as far as her, like, getting in the shape and stuff, like, nobody wants pre-2007 Britney more than me. That was a great time for young men like myself back when I was in high school, when she first came out, and so on and so forth. Yeah, people, especially males, miss that. But no, in all honesty, no, good to see she's back. I know that makes you excited, so that's good. And, you know, like I said, don't wish her ill at any by any means. Plenty of other females, and males, but it seems females get more attention for whatever reason, have taken her place in the party girl role, especially people like Lindsay Lohan, et cetera. But no, glad to see she's back on, and we definitely don't wish her ill, so. Right. I'll defer to you when it comes to her musical career, but yeah.
So, you know, I think the way that she kind of bounced back, I think goes to show, I think a lot of, not necessarily her character, but just, you know, it shows that the people who you surround yourself with really kind of makes the person. It really kind of helps you out as long as you have, like, a solid foundation. You know, that's why I think that Lindsay Lohan has just not made it. And, you know, I don't know if she ever will, which is really sad. But it's all about your support system, kind of how you rebuild the blocks. Everybody falls, you know, 100% of the population falls at some point. The really crappy thing, if you're a celebrity or if you're known for music, or you're known for acting, or you're known for sports, or you're known for whatever reason, if you fall and you're in the limelight, the really crappy thing is that people watch you fall, and it's harder, I think, I'm not a celebrity at all, I think it's harder for you to pick yourself back up without having a really solid foundation, especially if you have people kind of biting at the bit to try to get to you, to try to manipulate you and try to, you know, take what's not yours, and, you know, take what you didn't earn. So So, you know, I commend her. I think that she's doing a great job really kind of getting her life back in order. You know, there's a picture of her with her kids on Mother's Day, and she looks just genuinely happy. She doesn't have this medicine head. She doesn't have this dead-behind-the-eyes Kardashian look. She's really looking healthy. So, yeah, I wanted to bring this up just because I love talking about Britney. But, too, you know, I think it's worth mentioning. I think it's worth giving her a shout-out that she's really, you know, in the last few years, she's really turned her shit around, and she's not the person who a lot of people kind of counted out.
Sure.
You know, and like you said, it's on the base level, we're talking about Britney Spears, but no, it is a good topic as far as redemption and people, you know, she's in the limelight, but I'm sure most, if not all of us, you know, for those people in the chat room or you, myself, or Toku who are on the air right now, you know, we either ourselves or someone we know have experienced hardships in some fashion, again, and maybe even some that we brought on, and we might have hit our rock bottom or have been in dark places, and it's good. It's always a little bit sweeter when you get to a better place after something bad has happened, whether it's something that you did or not. So, no, it's a good story. I think it ties into what we've been talking about, you know, when something gets you down, when we first started talking about what everybody is excited to hear later with Karen, is what happens when, you know, people put you down or make you feel less than, or, again, even if you do it to yourself. So I think that ties into the Power Rangers conversation we had before, where David had something that happened to him that was out of his control that probably brought him down. Maybe that was his rock bottom back then, and he's trying to fight back. And I think it ties in nicely, and I think everybody can relate to it. And in that same vein, you know, someone, I hope you don't mind me jumping from Britney here, but... you know, someone else who is not on such a grand scale as the girls we were just talking about, but an actress who was, you know, somewhat known as a wild child, especially when she was dating Billy Bob Thornton, is Angelina Jolie. And she made headlines this week. Whatever your personal feelings are, I know some people just don't like her for whatever reason, and that's fine. She made big news this week. She got a double mastectomy. A preventative measure because she found out she had a faulty gene that made her more likely to have breast cancer. So she took that step of, instead of chancing it, maybe trying to attack cancer later on with chemo if she got it, she just decided to go through the procedure. And she put it in, I believe, the New York Times, if I'm not mistaken, one of the big New York papers. She wrote a piece about it, why she decided to do it. And a lot of people are saying that it gave them courage to either go get tested for that gene, or if they were debating what to do, realizing that that was the route they wanted to take. So I wanted to hear what everybody else thought about just the announcement. You know, what did you think about Angelina coming out and mentioning a private matter, you know, something involving surgery and, you know, someone's personal health, coming out and giving a face to it? But not only that, as much as I think it's cool that she did it personally, a lot of people saying how she's a hero and this is an amazing thing. Is she a hero? Is that, does she deserve that designation? So I just want to know what everybody else was thinking about the news that came out.
You know, I'm gonna play the typical male route right now. I'm sorry. You guys know this isn't how I normally would be, but I have to play the typical male route and say, oh, no.
right, of course.
Oh, my God, really?
I had to play that role once, but in reality,
you know,
he makes a good point.
It's unfair, but it's true. A lot of males, that probably was their first thought, you know, is that it's just, especially being a celebrity, a movie star. But he's right. There are people out there who did not really listen to the message on that level, but... Yeah, they took it that route. Yeah, he's right, that's for sure. But
right.
Yeah,
in all reality, my opinion is, hey, at least she was honest, at least she was straight up, and she did it for her own reasons. She didn't do it to appease Brad Pitt or anyone else. She did it because she wanted to be healthy for her kids. You know? That,
exactly.
I say, in my real opinion, is really worth it. But, you know, it's the truth, you know?
Yeah. And I don't think she, you know, I don't know her, obviously, but it does not seem like it was some kind of ploy. You know, there's always those naysayers that are like, oh, they're just doing this for attention. But her and Brad Pitt have essentially fallen out of the spotlight as far as doing things just for the sake of attention. They're still in movies, of course, and they're still photographed all the time, but that, you know, that's not because they want to be necessarily. So I think she did it for the right reason. She thought maybe this will help people out, and it wasn't for attention on herself or her family. You know, they're very, when it comes to donating and charities and stuff, they're actively involved. So I do think it was for the right reason. So for that, I think it's good. Topher, what are you thinking on that?
I completely agree with what everybody's saying. It's an amazing thing. It's a strong thing for a woman to do that, to take the proper steps to protect her livelihood, and, you know, because, you know, her mother passed away when she was younger. For her to want to be there for her children, to watch her children grow up, I mean, you've got to commend a woman for that. It's probably a really hard decision for anybody to make. What I will say,
you know,
and I'm probably going to get a lot of boos, but what I will say is, you know, people were calling her a hero, and that's, you know, I'm going to say it. She's not a hero. She's not a hero. She's a hero to her children, and she's a hero to her family. There are many, many other women out there who did it before her. I mean, Christina Applegate did it. Juliana Rancic, who's on E! News, she did it. I mean, it's a really, really crappy thing. And I don't think anybody wants to have that title of being a hero for it. I think the only thing that I think is appropriate is, yeah, you got to respect the girl for actually doing it. And for being so open and honest and public about it, and letting other girls know out there that it's you need to get tested and you need to get it checked, and it's okay if that's your option. It's okay if you decide this, because you're still beautiful. You know, breasts don't make a woman. I think that all women need to kind of look up to that and see that it's not your physical attributes that make you a woman. Yes, it's a shitty thing.
You make a very good
point, really awful. But, you know, in the long run, you have your health, you have your entire life to live.
I agree with you. And, you know, obviously the three of us, including Toku, who, you know, is chimed in a couple times tonight for those who are just checking in. But yeah, obviously we're all male, so this is not something we would necessarily understand on a completely on the same level that some of the females that are listening would. I think you hit on it the best so far is what people are worried about. And Chelsea in the chat room, you know, she hit that point just before you started mentioning it, saying that, you know, losing your breasts for some women is very depressing and a hard thing to go through because they feel like they're losing their womanhood. You know, think of the reverse. If you, as a male, had to lose a part of what you think makes you a male, you know, whether you have testicular cancer and have to remove one or both testicles, you know, you might go through that same thing. So I think between you and her, you both kind of hit on that. And that was kind of lost on a lot of people because,
correct,
you know, it's a celebrity, and I think a lot of women got it, and I think a lot of males got lost in some of the other stuff. But I think you guys made a good point. And although I don't think she's a hero in the grand sense of the term, like you mentioned, to her family and friends, it's a courageous decision because going under the knife is never an easy – well, it might be easy in the sense that if she didn't do it, her chances of having breast cancer are 87%. So it seems like the smart thing to do, of course. But it's not easy to go under the knife, to go through surgery, to go through that pain. It's scary. Any surgery could go wrong. So it's very, very courageous, and I think to some people she's a hero. To me, you know, I'm not going to put her up there with some, you know, people who risk their lives for other people in grander terms, but absolutely courageous. I do not envy her for having to make that decision or having to go under the knife for a surgery that it is major.
Right.
So kudos to her. And
I'll say,
you know,
I've actually done my fair share of surgeries. And each and every time you know you're about ready to go through a surgery, it's just like one of those things where you're just like, I mean, for the first, like, 5 minutes of the day that I know that surgery is going 5 minutes to 2 hours, it's just like, oh God, what's going to happen to me? Am I even going to be awake tomorrow? Am I even going to be alive the next day?
Right.
You know, it really is very stressful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine having to go through something like that. So, very courageous. To some people, she is certainly a hero, as well as she should be, you know, to people who maybe are going through that or debating between it. But, I just want to hear what other people thought about the topic.
I do have to say, I'm not a big style channel kind of guy, regardless of how homosexual I am. But there is a show on there called, shut up, I'm trying to make a point here.
You're gay,
There's a show on there, it's called Juliana and Bill, and it's Juliana Rancic and Bill Rancic. He was the first winner of that stupid Donald Trump show. I don't hold it against him, you know, you do what you gotta do to make money. But nonetheless, Juliana Rancic found out that she was trying to have the kids, and it just wasn't working out for her. And the cameras were actually capturing this entire event, these series of events. You know, so she went to the doctor, and the doctor started doing fertility things, and they're trying to help her, you know, get pregnant. And then she ended up having a mammogram. I think her doctor said, well, you know, things aren't working, well, let's just do a mammogram. She was like, well, you know, I don't have any breast cancer, and it's not in my family. I don't know why I have to have this done. And the doctor said, if we're going to continue this, I really think that we need to do it. Well, they did the mammogram, and they found that she had I think it was like stage one or early stages of stage one breast cancer. And the really amazing thing is that they really could have just stopped the show and not have aired it, but they aired the entire thing. So they were going through this whole surrogacy thing, trying to get a surrogate, and then on the flip side, she's going through all these doctors and medical things and, you know, trying to figure out what's going to be the best thing for her. And then ultimately they aired, you know, the entire process of her going to have her double mastectomy. For me, I think that was probably the bravest thing a woman had done, you know, and on television.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's on television.
She put her entire life out there. You know, they filmed her mother and her father, you know, in the hospital crying. I was sitting on a couch crying. I mean, it was this big emotional just this big emotional roller coaster that you went on with this poor girl, you know, who just wanted to, she just wants to have kids. She just wants to be a mother. She just wants to, and, you know, I think it happens for all women who get diagnosed is that they hit a wall. You know, life ultimately, everything that you were planning to do in the future is now stopped with this realization that, shit, I have to deal with this now. You know, and it was really brave of her to air that. And to see on the other end, she has her beautiful son, she has her husband love her, and above all, she's healthy. You know, so, you know, yay,
yeah.
Angelina Jolie for putting it out there for somebody who's an A-lister to come out. But, you know, if you want to look at strength, you know, I want you guys to watch those few episodes of Juliana and Bill and just watch how the emotional roller coaster that she went through and what it put her family through. It gives you a little bit of perspective.
You know, that's
a lot more powerful than...
No, you're good. That's a lot more powerful. I saw bits and pieces of that than someone who did it years before. I don't remember, you know, I don't know how many people remember this, but remember Tom Green? He was a jokester. He had that show where he just pranked his parents and stuff. But he had an episode. He found out he had testicular cancer, and he decided to let his people who were in the show decide to let them record it. And, you know, he took his funny Tom Green spin on it and everything, but he had done that too, where he went through the surgery and had his testicle removed and the whole thing. And that kind of put a face on it as well, a famous face, not to the extent that we are seeing today. But, you know, it's interesting, and that is brave too. You know, going through something like that is brave anyway, but allowing other people outside of your family in on it, you know, the bad times, the scary times, the uncertainty, that, you know, that has another level to it as well. And it might affect people. People might go get checked out when they wouldn't have because they saw it on TV. So it's one of those things where, you know, people – yeah, it's a celebrity, and they might have more means to, you know, pay for different kinds of things that people who are a little bit poorer might not be able to. But if they can make a difference, you know, it definitely is a good thing in the end. So, Yeah, there's been a few examples of it. And being in this time that we're in with all the social media and everybody was talking about look at me, for bad things, there are going to be those good instances, too, where you're going to learn about people who have problems. This has happened already, and it's going to continue, where you're going to find a YouTube star that's going to happen to, or somebody's website's going to go viral because they're dealing with something and people are touched by it, and you're going to see people videotape their own struggles and it'll become a thing. So it's good. It helps people deal with things. It feels like there's somebody else out there, and it might, again, people who aren't dealing with it, they might go get checked when they wouldn't have normally, or make a decision based on what they've seen that will actually better them. So, I don't know, just something I think we'll see more of.
Absolutely. And, you know, if there's any girls out there that are listening that want to call in and they have their own, because, I mean, we're three guys here. If there's any girls out there that have their opinion, either similar or different, or if you guys have a story, you guys can always call us. It's 323-417-6705, and Chokin will take your call, and we'll get you on the air. But I do want to move on just a little bit to my favorite thing to love, to hate, BlackBerry. I know it's a big change, but I really want to talk about it because I think it's worth it. Hang on. I'm talking here. BlackBerry's still hanging on, and, you know, they're hanging on, and they kind of made a smart move, I think. According to the Huffington Post, BlackBerry has plans on selling their BlackBerry Messenger. I don't know if you people have had BlackBerries in the past, but it's a really cool device where between each BlackBerry you can kind of have like this ongoing chat. For me, it's called a text message, but apparently BlackBerry thinks that there's things a little bit better, but it's not going to be available to Android and iPhone very soon. I honestly think that this might backfire, but I want to know, Christian, I don't know if you had a chance to read the article yet, but I want to know what your thoughts. Is BlackBerry a lost cause, or do you think that this might revitalize BlackBerry for a little bit longer, or do you think that this is going to be kind of what BlackBerry does, is they create apps and, you know, they sell them? What are your thoughts?
Well, we have a lot of new people here. So for those who are new, I used to work in the industry in some capacity in cell phones. So I have a little bit of background knowledge outside of just, like, reading stuff on there, like actual experience with selling it, using it, seeing other people's problems, blah, 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 blah. And we've talked about it before on the show. It was like the device, you know, a few years back. If you want a smartphone, that was the only thing you were going to have. And they just completely fell behind. You know, that's been well documented. We know that. I do not think they're really ever going to make a comeback to where they were. I just think it's impossible, especially with the popularity of Apple and its iPhone. And, you know, now Android just soared past BlackBerry, you know, a few years back. Now even Windows phones are starting to kind of generate some buzz, and you're seeing more people own those phones now. They're just it's a lost cause, I think, in the grand scheme of things. However, there are people who do not like Apple or do not like Droids and for different reasons. And one of the reasons a lot of people don't like Apple is because it's so proprietary, and it has to be Apple everything, and they don't like to play well with other companies and other devices and other really anything. They like to be under control with all their stuff, which some people like and a lot of people don't. So the big thing in BlackBerry is making that change of, hey, let's get some of our programs to play nice with other devices. And maybe that will, you know, make people be more receptive to maybe owning a BlackBerry, you know, later on. Especially with iPhone allowing the iMessage, which is exactly the same thing as BlackBerry Messenger for all intents and purposes. They realize they've got to adapt a little bit, and it's a good move for them for sure. And it might keep some people who love that BlackBerry Messenger but hated the fact that no one else could use it. That's going to be good for their current customer base. Want them to hold on to it, and it might open up their doors to other people. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it's going to make a huge difference. And Droids and iPhones are going to rule for a very, very long time. Now in the cell phone world, a very, very long time could be another 3 years, but.
Right.
They're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere anytime soon.
I agree. All right. So now we have to pull out the soapbox because I'm pretty sure Toku has something to say. Toku?
Well, besides for the fact that I hate Apple and I want everything Apple to be disintegrated, my opinion is very well known. Honestly, I think that BlackBerry may be going the right path for them. screw-making hardware, screw-making hardcore OS software. Go with what they do best. And the thing they do best is that messenger application, because quite honestly, it's the most secure messenger application out there. No joke. India, the country of India, the government told BlackBerry that they had to give up their encryption keys so that they could monitor the traffic. What did BlackBerry say? Screw off. Screw off. We're not giving you our keys. Our keys are our business, and they're used to maintain our proprietary network so that no one can get in. So, I mean, for me personally, BlackBerry focusing on their messenger application and putting that everywhere, smart move. Do I think BlackBerry phones are going to last? Nah. I think Research in Motion taking the right path, though.
And going through the chat right now, we got some people giving off some opinions in the chat room. We definitely appreciate it, especially since I know a lot of you are probably here to listen to Karen as well as you should. They put on a great show after us at 9 o'clock, and it's going to be even more high profile because of what she'll be talking about. But in any event, we appreciate you participating. We appreciate you listening and being respectful and all those things. We're kind of like the opening act at a concert, which no one really is there to see. So we appreciate it for those folks that are here and participating and humoring us. But in any event, what I was trying to say is a lot of people are talking about this conversation, which is good. Chelsea, again, in the chat room, chimed in when we first started talking, saying that the biggest problem with BlackBerry is the average customer just prefers a lot more applications, and BlackBerry just doesn't have that. With Droid and iPhone have, of course, tons and tons and tons of applications. She just says that's just not going to satisfy the average customer. LaBlue6, I don't really know the name, but we appreciate you being here, and I'm sorry I probably butchered it. But he says that BlackBerry probably hates you too, Topher. At least I'm assuming he's talking to you because you said you hate BlackBerry.
they just
bio...
and that's okay.
BioHybrid says he hasn't had a smartphone in a while. And of course, people are still chatting, so I lost my spot there. Go Rangers says his never worked right. He kept having to resend it back. And, you know, for BlackBerry, it's actually somewhat odd, especially for the older ones. They're usually like a reliable device for what they do. But he himself had some problems. You know, just and other people just chiming in with things that they like. Chelsea saying she likes iPhones. And, you know, everybody else kind of saying that they like the same. When Go Ranger says for a smartphone, he'd like to go Droid. But right now he has a slide phone. So a lot of we have people running the gamut here. People saying they had the Samsung impression. LaBlue again, he says he likes toucans and a string. That's cool. I like toucans and a string too.
That is awesome.
Hey, reliable tech.
That's
it
true.
Is.
You can't beat reliability of that.
True. And if you like toucans and a string, then you must like Morse code as a text message.
Right, and it's, there's no, you know, the only downside is, you know, there's no call waiting with cans and a string. It's hard to text message, like you said, but it can be done. Picture messaging's a no-go with cans and a string, so you know it does have its drawback.
That's damn funny.
No internet.
I was reading this article. I'm sorry, I'm going to change something a little bit. I was reading this article, and it was it started off with Beyonce, who I really don't necessarily care about, but she's on tour, and it was about just the things that she asked for, her demands for her tour bus. She wants red toilet paper, which I thought they got rid of different colored toilet paper because it gave everybody a yeast infection because of the dyes, but I'm going to digress because yeast infections are fucking disgusting. But it kind of raised the question, like, you know, celebrities are asking for these weird and outrageous foods and items and things for either their tour bus or, you know, when they go to when they're doing their concerts, you know, what their green room is going to look like, or if they're doing like the Ellen DeGeneres show or what have you, Conan, you know, what does their little green room look like? You know, what are some of the crazy things that you would ask for either on your tour bus or in your green room?
Yeah, and
for those people who are unfamiliar, just real quick, they're also called Tour Riders. And the Smoking Gun, I saw this like a few years back. They have some amazing copies. Basically, Tour Riders, every time the bands go perform, they can send what they call a writer beforehand, and it just says what they require, what they prefer when they are at that venue. And it's usually things like food and what, you know, if they want a place that's going to have a bathroom for them, you know, and things that aren't totally ridiculous. And these have been around for years. And because they turn them in, you know, whether it's email or fax or whatever, there's always a paper copy, and the Smoking Gun tends to get a hold of them. So you can see artists from years ago, like AC/DC's Tour Rider, or the Beach Boys, Bob Dylan, to more contemporary artists, you know, up to like the Justin Bieber's of the world now. And it is hilarious, some of the stuff that these people require. And I'm going to go through and try to find some of the better ones because it eludes me now. But as for me personally, I guess because I'm not in that celebrity mind state, I don't have any ridiculous requests for a rider. I would just want to be comfortable. I would just want to have enough food around, some water, you know, some drinks. I wouldn't have anything too ridiculous. But, you know, if I was used to getting my way like most celebrities are, I'm sure there'd be some crazy things that would pop out eventually. Like Go Ranger says, he wants a good coffee maker with strong coffee if he was a artist. Biohybrid says he wants a burger, curly fries, cream soda. He's not too picky either.
What about you, Matt?
I love that.
I know
I
mine.
I love cream soda. I forgot about cream soda. What's yours?
I would say I'd have to go with, like, all the gaming systems that have ever been released on one wall, and then on the other wall, like a monitor set up with two computers just running whatever the fuck I want.
Well, there you go.
Gaming rigs so, all around.
I'm apparently the diva of No Rules, Just Mics. I don't need any jokes. I don't need any side comments. I have already stated it. I know it. But if I were a celebrity, and the weird, outrageous request that I would have for either my dressing room or tour bus would be, I would want all of the Legend of Zelda games. I would want Coke Zero. I would want Starburst jelly beans. I would want a saltwater fish tank. I would want blue irises and red and white tulips. I would want an endless supply of Svedka vodka. I would want Apothic wine. I would want pictures of the beach at sunset and Britney Spears music playing.
Oh, my goodness. You are absolutely the diva.
The diva.
Which I don't
hey,
think
at least,
yeah,
at
it's
least,
too much of a surprise.
At least mine has the ability to play all the Britney Spears music you would ever want, along with My Fear, Death Punch, Red Hot, Creed, Korn. You know, all of them.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, you know, I love that idea. I think it's all of them. I'd rethink that. So Biohybrid said all of the Legend of Zelda games. I'd rethink that. Do not get the CD. So okay, I'm a little retarded with that. What is a CD?
Oh, the CDI Zelda games. Oh yeah, you wouldn't want those. The CDI was an old school game system released by Philips. And Nintendo gave them some properties, specifically Mario and Zelda. They made two Zelda games, The Wand of Gamelore and something else that is, one of them you actually play as Zelda, and one of them you play as Link. The controls are atrocious, the gameplay is sickening, it's just bad. It makes the worst thing you could imagine seem white, honestly. And then the Hotel Mario isn't even Mario. It's you try and jump on a Goomba and you get killed instantly.
Oh, well, that's a big flaw.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Christian.
Not to interrupt the Zelda talk, but I'm going to interrupt the Zelda talk.
It's going to be for a damn good reason.
I found the top 10 list of the craziest backstage demand, which is...
Oh, yeah.
Somehow we deviated to Zelda. No, I'm just kidding. But, so I'm going to go through the list here real quick. It's from AskMen.com. So number 10, craziest backstage demand, they put Trent Reznor, of course, of Nine Inch Nails fame. He required,
right,
and said it was very important on his tour rider to have 2 boxes of cornstarch. They speculate that that might be because he likes to wear a lot of tight leather pants, and much like that episode of Friends with Ross tries to get out of his leather pants, that might be why he requires it. LL Cool J is number 9. He requires baby oil and 24 roses. So, you guys can speculate as to why that is. I have no idea. Baby oil, 24 roses.
I don't want to know.
Motley Crue. This one isn't as funny. They requested things like peanut butter. They also requested a schedule for the local Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. They also put on there a submachine gun, a 12-foot-long boa constrictor, and most importantly, a jar of Grey Poupon.
Oh my God!
No word if they've got any snakes or machine guns. I also heard Blink-182 used to ask for very specific types of pornography on their tour rider just to see if people would provide it, because they kind of got the ridiculousness of how the tour rider was. Speaking of, number 7, Marilyn Manson requested the very specific brand of gummy bears, the Haribo, or however you pronounce it. He had to be that type of gummy bear. He also requested a bald-headed, toothless hooker. Not as specific on that. She just had to be bald-headed and toothless.
Oh, my God. That could be any crack whore on the street. I mean,
Cher,
standards, people. Standards. Jesus.
I'll go through these a little quicker till we get to the top. Cher at number 6 wanted a wig room. Madonna demands brand new toilet seats. God help you if they've been used by someone before. A old singer, Al Jolson, do not know much about him at all. He's a singer, comedian, very old. He requested a plaque that declared that he was the world's greatest entertainer. So we needed a little pat on the back, I guess.
Whoa, I'm pretty sure Celine Dion already has that on her wall. But we're going to digress. Keep going.
Number 3 is Prince, the man Prince. He wants plastic on everything, clear plastic wrap on everything in the dressing room.
Seriously?
Iggy Pop? Seriously, that was his thing. Iggy Pop, from Iggy Pop, of course, in the Stooges. He required a Bob Hope impersonator for some reason. And... this is one of the more famous ones. You've probably heard it before. But Van Halen, David Lee Roth, of course, they had the request of no brown M&Ms, absolutely no brown M&Ms, for whatever reason. And that came in at number 1 on the Ask Men Craziest Tour Rider. So a lot of those were jokes, clearly, like people were just being dumb just to see if the venue would hook them up. But things plastic on everything, that was a legit. Madonna, brand new toilet seats, all those things are completely legitimate. It's crazy what stars will request. Like I said, thinking in a fantasy world, you came up with a pretty funny list. But think about it for a second. If you were really put in that position, somehow your first ever show, you're a singer, would you actually request all that? Probably not. It would take you some, all right, well, maybe I'll slip one in and see if they actually do it. I don't want to seem like a jerk. These celebrities, once they've been there a while, that's when they start saying, what the hell? I'm going to request this. What are they going to do about it? They'll probably hook me up. So it's just funny what people do. Even people like, techno, EDM DJs, they're getting huge these days. They're requesting funny things, too. Steve Aoki, he requests some pretty funny props. It starts out, just some poster board and things, but then he also wants an inflatable raft, a CO2 air blower with full tank to blow up that raft, confetti machines. I mean, just everything. It's crazy.
Oh, my gosh. See, that was fun, everybody. I think it's fun to even it may never happen, but just you know, you kind of put yourself in a position where if you could ask for anything, you know, my list kind of took me a little while to come up with. I really had to think. I mean, what would I really want? I mean, I would definitely want this. The whole Starburst jelly beans, they're probably my favorite thing. They're my favorite candy ever. I love them. They're better than any regular jelly beans. They're better than those Jelly Belly things, which, I mean, once you start mixing a bunch of them, it really just it tastes like dirt. It really doesn't taste all that good. I don't care what anybody says, including Willow. Bitch, I don't care what you say either. But the Starburst jelly beans are really my favorite. They just have really good flavors, and you can mix them, and they still taste really good. So, I mean, it's that kind of stuff. It's what would you really want, what really is in not so much important to you, but if you were going to be ultimately comfortable, what are the things that you would like? It's kind of like the same question.
Sure.
If you're stuck in a deserted island and you can get three things, what would those three things be? Most people think books because it puts them in a – I don't know why you'd want a book. I'd want a boat, honestly. But anyway, digressing. I thought it was a lot of fun.
That situation.
We do. So Biohybrid said, here's just one for hilarity, sharks with freaking laser beams attached to their heads. Oh, that would be awesome. And
Cat would prefer
scary.
Cat would prefer her dolphin with the laser on the top.
Oh, that would be creepy. All right, so it's Thursday. Most people have Twitter accounts. If you guys don't have a Twitter account, I suggest you get one and follow at No Rules Just Mike and at SCNGTG5, which is Christian, so it's SCNGTG5, and I am your iTopher 2. And Topher, I can't remember yours because it's way too fucking long. So what is it?
Yeah, at UCR @AMC _Toku. And I just popped that in the chat room so people can look for it.
All right. So what we normally do on Thursdays, what it's going to be kind of our ongoing thing, is we're going to do a Thursday Twitter Trends, which in your area is probably going to be different from some other people, but it's the hot trending topics on Twitter. I think it's kind of a lot of fun to kind of see what other people are going to say. I have one, but I want somebody to cue the music, Toku, because I like this music.
I already had it ready.
Now my Thursday is complete. All right. So the one that I have is # if you know me, then you know that, ... Christian, do you have one?
Oh, man, you're always putting me on the spot with these things. I got to, like, research Twitter before. if you know me, if you know me, then you know happiness. I'm amazing. Everybody loves me. I am great. No, in all seriousness.
That was lame.
I know it was lame. I didn't really mean that. If you know me, I'm going to take this on the personal level. If you know me, then you know that I am a huge New York Giants fan. Big Blue, they tend to dominate most conversations come the fall. I'm sure I could come up with a way better and way wittier answer, but, you know, on a whim like that, that's the best I'm going to be able to do right now. What about you guys?
If you know me, you know True Insanity from AMC Press.
This is true. This is very true. I've been welcomed on your show a couple of times, and you definitely have your soapbox. I respect the shit out of you for it. I mean, I think it's amazing. Mine is, if you know me, and we're down to the last minute, so it's going to be really quick. If you know me, then you know that I say what's on my mind. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, we didn't have enough time to get through everybody's, but in the next 50 seconds, you guys are going to listen to the guilty pleasure that is Uncensored Radio with Karen Ashley, Katrina Johnson, and Jeffrey Emmett as they bring the hour-long guilty pleasure, and you will hear Karen as she clears the air about her decision on the Power Ranger reunion. And without further ado, guys, we're going to bring it to
the Uncensored Radio crew. So I hope you guys have a great night. Thank you so much for tuning in. Christian, as always, I can't do the show without you. And Toku, thank you so much. You're amazing for just being on the show. I appreciate it.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are
you always got me around, man.
Have a great night, everybody. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you guys next week.
Cat, are you ready for this
one? UCR.
Go.
We say it what we want, give it to you non-stop. When it plays anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Uncensored Radio. We have an amazing, controversial show for you tonight. It is just me and Jeffrey. You see, I try to put extras on it. Like, it's so dramatic, controversial. But it's going to be a fun show, actually, because you know me. I'm a fun-loving personality. Nothing is ever going to get me down. And I finally want to clear the air on a lot of things. But before we get to that, Jeffrey Emmett, how are you, my love?
I am fantastic. I'm kind of excited we're finally going to, like, really address this. During the same song, like, I was just thinking to myself, like, oh, this is going to be a controversial hour. Drama film, and then you said it. I was like, God, great minds really do think alike.
Right, exactly. Oh, it's so crazy. Yeah, it's so, I can't even get on Facebook nowadays and, like, not read all of these posts and all of these comments and all of these speculations and all this stuff. You know, and so for me, it's like, enough's enough. I'm going to say what I have to say. I thought I already did that, though. Like, a couple weeks ago, I kind of just said what I had to say, and I was kind of done with it.
I know you were.
Yeah. It gets meaner and meaner and meaner. I mean, it's what we're talking about, if you're just tuning in, I'm Karen Ashley. I used to be on a show called Power Rangers. Woohoo! And it was a great experience. And as of lately, there was an offer put on the table for a lot of people to come back to, you know, basically, I guess, do a cameo on the show. It really wasn't even a guest starring role. It really wasn't, at least it was never presented to me as anything more than just a cameo. And my first thought,
explain them what a cameo is, because I'm sure there's some of these kids that do not understand.
Okay. A cameo is where you say no lines, you say nothing, and the camera just kind of shows your face or kind of just shows you for, you know, a few minutes or not even a few minutes, maybe a few seconds. From what I understood, there were so many people asked back. I think it was almost every single series. I do believe there were some people they didn't reach out to, but I think it was because they couldn't find them or, you know, but the production company isn't always very good at trying to hunt people down. If they want you, they'll just skip over you. So I think a lot of people who didn't get in touch with us just because they couldn't find them. But long story short, they asked us to come back. They put an offer on the table. And this is where the plot thickens. It gets a little sticky. For me, my very first thought was, this is what the reunion's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a cameo. Like, I always had high hopes. Because people ask me this, you know, Jeffrey, and I know all the audience knows. Every time I go to a convention, I get asked at least 50 times, would you ever do Power Rangers again? Would you ever do Power Rangers again? Would you ever do a reunion show? Would you guys, like, that is the hot ticket item. That is the question of the day. And I always thought at some point, they would come a calling. But I really thought when they came a calling that it would be something special. Like, I really thought there would be an episode, There'd be a storyline. There would be something, because the reality is, I mean, to get the original cast, at least this is my opinion, I think it's a very special moment. I think it's a very special moment. If you can get the original cast back together in the same room, on the same TV screen, I thought the moment needed to be special. So when I noticed that it was going to be a cameo, it was just kind of like, ugh, I don't know about this one. And I'm not going to say what any of my other compadres felt, but the feeling was kind of mutual because we talked about it. We got on a phone, we got on a text message, we got on an email, and we all kind of started discussing the options. And we kind of just got a blanket email. It wasn't anything, hello, Karen, hello, you know, David, Steve, Johnny, Kat, Jason. It was nothing personal. It was like, hello, Rangers. So it was a mass email or a mass, you know, it wasn't anything personal. So that was another off-putting kind of situation because it's like, look, we've worked for you guys. We've helped you guys build this franchise. I mean, you can say, you know, you own it, but at the end of the day, if it wasn't for the actors, I don't know how well it would have gone. I don't think if people wouldn't have identified with us, and people wouldn't have enjoyed our acting performances, whether they were good, bad, or whatever. The reality was the actors, in my opinion, brought the show to life.
And be honest, because once they started switching the whole cast, the show went downhill. People stopped watching.
Right. I agree. And I think it was because they switched to a different format. When I was on the show, they were very into the audience identifying with the characters. They wanted everyone to have somebody. Each color represented a different kid, a different situation, you know? And I think when, you know, the politics and the money and, you know, Saban has always been known to be a cheap company. We're not going to sugarcoat the situation. We're not going to sit here and pretend like they were God's gift to opportunity. They gave us an opportunity, but they didn't really pay us for it. And at that time in my life, and I think in most of the lives, we were all starting out in the acting business. So even though we weren't getting the money we deserved, it was a great opportunity for us to start our careers. It was a great opportunity. But that was 20 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever it was. Whenever you got on the show, whenever a person got started, that was then. So skip to today, where I haven't been on the show in forever. I make a great living. I have a great life. I, you know, travel. I get to go to conventions. I get to meet fans all the time. I've got an amazing radio show. Hello, hello, hello. I've got, you know, a pilot show that I'm working on selling. I've got a photography business that's going really well. I've got, you know, a reality show that we're, you know, editing, doing different things to. I've got a lot of opportunity on my plate. I'm a very busy person. I've got a lot of things going on. So when I get a standard letter, it's not really personal. It doesn't seem like it's an opportunity for any of the characters. Forget just Aisha, but any of the in my opinion, the Mighty Morphin, the Zeos, the Turbos, whoever, all of these people to really shine and give the audience a moment of nostalgia other than seeing our faces. You guys see our faces at conventions. You see our faces on YouTube. You see our faces all the time. Like, Facebook and Twitter have made it possible for you guys to really get in touch with us. So when I realized it wasn't really an opportunity to make these characters shine again, I was kind of like, I don't know about this. So that was just my initial thought. So I was like, well, let me see what the offer is and let's see what happens. So, you know, I was like, yeah, here's my info. Here's my agent. You know, let us know what you're talking about. I'm open to the opportunity. That was what I said in my email. I said, I'm open to it. I'm available that week, you know, because they gave us a set of days. And so it was like, okay. So without, you know, before I go any further, there are people who were gung-ho. They didn't have the reservations I had. And I think that's great. I think it depends on where you are in your life and what you know. I think it's when it arrived in your moment, in your time, in your space. I think it's great. There are people who are going to do this reunion show, and I'm so happy for them. I've been in touch with them. We've talked. And I'm like, take a lot of pictures. Tell me how it goes, you know? So I'm not going to say who's confirmed and who's not confirmed and blah, 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 because that's not my position to expose the big secret. I know everyone who's going to be on there, but I don't even want to go there. So needless to say, we get an offer, and basically without getting numbers, without throwing some numbers around, they basically wanted us to fly and leave our situation for, what was it, 5 days. And the kicker was they only wanted to really pay us for two. And the amount that they wanted to pay us for the 2 days, in my opinion, this may not be anybody else's opinion, was not enough for me to leave, because I would lose money, point blank, period, whatever. And I've been reading emails. I don't want to say his name. I'm not going to put anybody on blast, but you know who you are. This person said, you know, this was 20 years ago. I don't think that factors in that much. Hold on, let me see what he said. Hold on. There have been so many people that are so mad and so angry and so, like, you know, I feel like so hostile. Yeah, it was shocking. Like, what's shocking to me is it's like, you're so hostile. He said, let me find where it is.
I'm looking for some as well. Like, I see people that are mad.
Well, the thing is everyone's like, you should do it for the fans. Forget the money. This should be bigger. You know, you should do it. All of you should do it for the fans. The least you can do is do it for the fans. I do a lot of things for the fans. I actually do this radio show for the fans, and a lot of the fans call in all the time, and we could be talking about cancer, and they call in and say, hey, you know, what's your favorite episode of Power Rangers? And I'm not like, dude, we're talking about cancer. We go, oh, well, you know, my favorite episode was blah, 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 but what do you think about cancer? You know, like, it's like we could be on a serious topic, and we go right into it. And to me, you know, this one person said, no Rangers shouldn't return over money issues. It's like one episode that they're bringing people back, right? Maybe two episodes. Screw the money. I think they should be able to do one episode for the fans. You know what I mean? This is the thing, guys. I wish I was in a position to say screw the money. But when you make a certain amount of money and you have a certain amount of bills and you want to live a certain lifestyle, you can't say screw the money. And the reality is the person that's throwing this party, throwing this reunion, this franchise is worth how much, Jeffrey? You always love to throw the number.
Saban has $3.4 billion.
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 Billion. And what this is you guys really have to look at the situation. They have all new toys coming out. They're celebrating the 20 years. They're going down memory lane. They're going to roll out all these new toys. And I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't make another billion from them.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm on the reunion show, if Jason Frank's on there, if anybody makes it to this reunion show, David, whoever, Johnny, Nakia, anybody goes on this reunion show, you guys are going to watch it. And you're going to go buy the toys. And you're going to go, and it's going to re-energize this feeling inside of you of nostalgia. And I'm very happy that you're going to have this moment. But for me, I'm not trying to help someone make another $1 billion, and you can't even pay me for my time to help you make that. It's disrespectful. It's just wrong. I wouldn't advise. So many agents in L.A. won't even work with Saban because of the fact that he cheats everyone. The only person making money is him, and that's fine. He can make his money. I've moved. It's what it is. But I don't have to go back down that road. Like, I don't have to go back there. And it's like, for the fans, I'd rather meet you in Houston, Atlanta, New Orleans, Rhode Island. I'd rather meet you guys there. I'd rather meet you face-to-face. You know, I'd rather there be a different reunion where you actually see us talking, interacting, seeing each other. I'd rather that moment happen. So I can't, you know, I can't just sit back and be quiet anymore. And, you know, there's this whole big thing, like TMZ came up with the story of, you know, David not doing the show, and people are, like, bashing David, and, oh, he should put his feelings aside. So what? The producers treated him like crap and called him, you know, a faggot. Like,
wait a minute. Wait.
Yeah.
TMZ picked this up?
TMZ put out a story, and it basically says, go screw yourselves. And this is the thing. I've talked to David, and I don't even know whether David's doing it or not doing it, but he considered it, and I don't even know that that was ever in his train of thought. So for you guys to bash him, if he decides he doesn't want to do it because those same producers who are still there treated him like crap, then that's his prerogative. That is his prerogative.
Well, and here's the thing, which I think all these people forget. I mean,
He's such a nice guy. Such a nice guy.
This was a great experience for all of you. Like, it really wasn't. Like, most of you left under conditions because you weren't being paid what you were supposed to pay. They fired the first three actors, and your three guys came in to replace them because they weren't paying them. So they fired them when they asked for more money. They fired them.
But I will say, the only thing that I will say that they did was, David did tweet that he wasn't going to do it, but he did it because everyone is speculating. Everyone had their hopes up, and he was like, probably, I don't know what he was thinking, but he basically probably wanted to do what I did, which was just kind of let people know, look, guys, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be able to do it. He didn't say why. He didn't say if, but it's like they just grab a story. Trust me, TMZ, when the whole story broke that he decided to come out the closet, they were calling all of us and trying to get stories, trying to twist our words, trying to do something. And I thought it was so despicable and so horrible. And I was like, wow, this show does that? It really does that? You got to understand, they're going to take any little inch and make it into a yard. So all of you who are bashing him and saying mean things about him, you know what? You really got to back off because he's a great guy. And the things that his character, Billy, brought to the series, brought to the show, the fact that he's doing conventions, he doesn't have to do conventions. He's a successful producer. He makes just as much money, if not 10 times more, producing the show. So the fact that he's doing conventions is only because of the fans. It's only because he has a special place in his heart for the people who watch the show, you know?
Right. And at the Morphicon, he donated all of that money. Like, he didn't keep it. Like, he donated it to charity. He did it strictly for the fans. And it blows my mind.
And not everybody is on the – not everybody's bashing. I will say it's a small percentage. It's a very, very small percentage who are saying mean things.
It agitates the shit out of me because they're so rude and they don't know. And, I know a lot of these kids don't work. They've got some disabilities, so maybe they're getting a check. So they don't know.
Right.
If you haven't had a job, you don't understand. But if, let's say your last job called you and asked you to come back to work – and it's going to take you away from your new job that's paying you for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not trying to pay you. You wouldn't go either. And if you say yes, you're a liar. Because that's really what they were doing to these guys. They're not trying to pay them.
Amen.
Like, it is an insult.
You're a liar.
Like, you won't say it, but I will. It was an insult. What they tried to do to these guys was an insult. And then it's an insult to you guys. You should be ashamed of yourselves for being upset with the actors. You want to be pissed? Go write Saban and tell him to stop being so fucking cheap and come up with $5 to pay these guys because it's bullshit. It's bullshit. And then to do a cameo on top of it is just rude, and it's inconsiderate, and it's an insult to all of you. Because if you've been waiting 20 years, and from the comments I see, Karen, they're all thinking this is going to be like an episode or two. They're not realizing that it's what you heard was a cameo.
Yeah, that's what they presented to us, guys. It was a cameo. It wasn't – it basically would all be extras because the show is not about our characters anymore. The show the way they put it is the show's about the new cast, and we don't want to disrupt the cast. But I feel like if you're going to give the fans a reunion, give them a real reunion. Give them a real reunion. Don't give them a battle fight scene of a bunch of costumed stuntmen who are going to run around – because all it was a cameo and potentially us, you know, this is how it's presented to me. Whether it changes, whether it becomes something different by the time it gets to the television screen. But it's not a 2-3-parter, you know, let's save the world for old time's sake kind of thing. This one guy, I love his comments because he was on one. He says, even if David, he had tough times, in the past, he should just man up and deal with it and be in this special. I don't think he realizes how many fans he has that are wanting him to return, because I'm sure a lot of them have been wanting him to return for a lot of years now. I'm sorry, dude, but if you've never been discriminated against, if you've never been
bullied,
treated like you're nothing, talked about, whatever. I'm coming to the defense of my friend. It's not a matter of manning up. He manned up by saying, no, thank you.
Well, and that's another thing. As much as these kids talk about bullying and how bullying is wrong, and, you know, they're like, we were bullied, I was bullied, this one was bullied, or, you know, people pick on me because I have a disability, or people pick on me because I'm fat, or people pick on me because I have glasses, or whatever the case is. So for this dude to say, man up, like, kid, you need to go fuck yourself, okay? Call into the show, mm-hmm. have some balls, and say that to my face. Because I'll tell you what, when you get gay bashed, it's called bullying, you moron. How do you like it? Does it feel good? I'm such an asshole, but I don't care. Like, it's so frustrating to me. Like, how dare you, little boy, get on there and say anything? Like, you have no idea what it's like. And if you do, that's even more shame on you. You need to sit down and shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Namaste.
And then a lot of people were like, you know, oh, he declined the invitation because it wasn't personalized. I will agree with David in the tweet that he put out. It did have typos in the letter. It was very impersonal. And you want to say, oh, well, that's no reason to not go and do. That's not the only reason, guys. It's quite a number of reasons. And they're the same producers are still there. It's still the same. A couple of the main producers are still producing the show. It's just bad history. And if you have bad history, if you have a bad situation, then you know what? It's almost like you got to approach it in a good, positive way. It could have been a great, positive thing. And this is the thing. This is how I feel. I'm just speculating on how anyone else feels. But what I will tell you is this also, and I'm just going to leave this with you guys. I know for a fact, for a hardcore, straight up, I'm not putting anything extra on this fact, that quite a few people actually got invited, got the letter I got, were excited, emailed back, yes, I'm on board, I want to go, I'm all set, send me the contract. And they basically got, you know, week went by, nothing. Another week went by, nothing. Another week went by, nothing. And then they finally got a letter or something. I don't know. I think it was an email. And go, you know what? Because of budget reasons, we can't use you. So they were invited and then uninvited. Even some of them had talked to them in the process, and it was like, yay, we're glad you're coming. And then it came back, oh, you know what? Sorry, we handpicked 10 people, and you weren't one of them. Because of budget reasons, you can't go. So yet again, Saban and their folks and whoever else is the powers that be are, you know, they handpicked people, and you weren't one of the handpickies. So sorry, sorry to get your hopes up, which to me I think is so wrong on so many levels. I think it's so wrong, because what I would have done if I were in that position, you have an idea of who you want. Go after the ones that you want. And if those are the people you want, and if they accept, great. If they don't, then go to another one. Then go to another one. You got like 60 people. Like, why invite 60 people to a party when you're only really going to have 10 people there?
Right.
That makes no sense. That's so wrong on so many levels. You know, it's just wrong. You know, and I just, so this is the thing. I really do appreciate everyone who has taken their own personal feelings out of it, and they're like, you know what, maybe the situation wasn't the right situation. Maybe we'll get a reunion show at some point. Maybe these guys have good reason to not go. And you know what? That's fine. We'll meet them. Maybe sometime there'll be something else that comes up. I don't know. But today, right now, guys, it's just not right. And no one should be talked about for deciding not to do it. You know? Saban decided they fired a lot of cast members through the years, and they decided they didn't want to work with us. So why is it any different when we decide we don't want to work with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You brought up a good point. I didn't even think about that, you know?
Right.
I didn't even think about the fact that a lot of people got fired from the show.
Right, exactly. Like, they treated everybody so rotted. And, I mean, I don't even have to know you to know this. Because if these people were fans as much as they say they were, you know, like, I was around them. Like, I was a kid. Like, I read the rag mags and, like, read all the reports and saw the, you know, interviews. And I've heard stuff. Like, are you kidding? Like, you guys were all treated like shit. People were fired because they asked for a raise because of what they should be getting paid. Not, you know, the peasley amount they were. Like, Amy Jo talked about it in one of the interviews, what she said, like, she was getting paid. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, even today's standards, that's, like, piss money. So it's just insulting all the way around. And to have these guys attack all of you, like, it's very offensive to me now knowing most of, you know, your castmates or whatever that, you know, I've got to meet through you and doing the show. And they are all such sweet people. Such sweet people and such lovely people. And the fact that you all go to conventions the way you do to go meet these people, it just, you know, I think that's sweet. You're flying around the damn country, and you don't need to do that. Like, I think that's what they don't get. It's like, you don't need to do that. None of you do.
Right.
Like, so that's you giving it back. And I don't understand. Like, you'd rather see somebody on the screen for 2 seconds, or would you rather meet them in person?
Right. And the thing is I'm glad that they're doing somewhat of a reunion, and I'm glad those people got to go back, and I'm glad it's going to be a good situation. It's probably going to be a lovely trip. But I don't think the rest of us should catch flack for not being able to do it.
I honestly wish everybody said no. And I'm sure I'll get the hate mail now, but I wish everybody said no.
I don't wish everybody said no. I'm glad. I don't wish that. I'm glad that there's something being done for the 20th anniversary. I just wish it would have been something more. Because personally, if it would have been an episode and it would have been all these characters and it would have been written, you know, I don't know. But what was presented to me, it was quick. It was one or two days, and it's just like we didn't even have to. I think it was going to be shot from the shoulders up. Like, it was just our head. It was just like, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. But from what I understood, it's not going to be that intricate or that deep. I probably would have tried to figure something out if it were a little deeper situation. Because, you know, I always felt Aisha never had no resolved storyline. Like, you know, it was just like, bye, you know. Here comes the next girl. She looks kind of like you. So, you know, it was like, and then I felt like Makia never got, you know, her character never got the attention it deserved. It was just wrong on so many levels. So, I don't know. But I'm happy. I'm happy you guys are excited. I love the fact that you guys are really anticipating what's going to happen. You're really trying to figure it out. I hope that between now and when they shoot it, that they really make it a special moment for you. And I just hope it's great. I mean, I really do. I'm very excited for you guys, but I'm not excited about the ugly side that this all brought on, because I really thought, you know, like, I was just, and I'm not saying it's all the fans, but that, you know, it's always like, you know, 10 people, it's like the bad bunch always kind of mess it up for everybody else, because while you read that horrible comment, there's like 8 other comments that come in from other fans that are like, how dare you, you know, if they, you know, who really, you know, really, 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 appreciate the show. So,
I'm
very excited.
Maybe if I would have listened to David more when he was on and he schooled me and said I need to think happy thoughts and not be so negative, I wouldn't get so angry when somebody kind of offends you guys and tell them they're a moron.
What happened was I was on Facebook last night. And I just had to personally kind of just set the – I feel like, oh, I need to personally set the record straight. And it's not going to happen in a tweet, in a Facebook post. People always kind of misconstrue. It's like a text message. You don't really get the true feeling behind what someone writes in there. you know, and I don't want people to think that I'm angry or that I'm mad. I'm not. I'm like, I'm in such a great place in my life. And I'm so happy that you guys are going to get this moment, but it's just not something that was anything. I felt disrespected by the whole situation. So for me, I don't want to be in that place. I've never been in that place. I've never wanted to be in a place where I don't feel the work that I do or the things that I bring are not appreciated. If you're not in a situation where you feel appreciated, then you need to go to another situation. That's why I originally left the show. When I went to the premiere of the movie, and it was my first movie, and it was one of the biggest moments in my life. Like, if you can ever, I don't know if you'll ever get this moment, but if you could ever imagine walking out of a limo, there's a red carpet, and it's all for you in the movie that you're in, and you're there with your castmates, and you just spent 6 months in Australia dying, wanting to finish, and it seemed like it was never going to end, and you spent all these hours, and you were so like, oh my gosh, it's so hard to make a movie. So to finally show up and the movie is done and it's finished and you're just like, wow, this is the best moment ever. And you step out of your limo and you see, guess who you see? You see Chaim Saban. Oh, my God. Chaim Saban, the man who hired you, the guy who brought this whole thing to life. And you go, Chaim, hi, how are you? And he has that blank stare on his face and he has no idea who you are. I want you guys to think of that moment. How would you feel? Because that happened to me. And I was like, you know me, Karen. And he was like, like giving me the fake kind of smile, like, who the hell is this bitch looking around crazy? And then I go, Karen, I play Aisha. And he goes, oh, Karen. Yeah.
It's unreal.
That happened
unreal.
To me. That happened to me. And at that moment, I knew. Because this is the thing, guys. I sat there and go, there ain't that many black girls in this movie. I think I'm the only one. And they surely don't have braids all the way down to their butt. I'm pretty recognizable, even if I don't want to be. Even if I'm not a Power Ranger that you care about, you still, a black girl with braids, everybody, I'm like, you know, it's like almost you can't miss me. You can't miss me.
Well, out of all the shows he had on at that time, I think you were the only black cast member, period.
Right. And then I'm like, getting out of a limo. Like, who comes to a limo just randomly? Like, you only ride a limo when you're going to a premiere, you're going to a fancy party, or you're going to the prom. I wasn't going to my prom. So I'm all dolled up. I'm, you know, people are taking pictures, and I'm walking up to you going, hi. And you don't know who I am. Like, come on, dude. So at that moment, I knew that it wasn't about us. It was about the toys, and it was about, because they always used to say, it's just about the toys. It's not about you actors. You actors can be replaced. Like, that's what they would tell us on the set. Because guess what? When I got hired, three other people had been replaced. So it was always, they instilled the fear of Saban in you and said, you can always be replaced. Don't you get too comfortable. Don't ask for no raise because you will be replaced. People have been replaced before you. So trust me, it was one of those situations where I was like, wow, you can always be replaced. You really can. Wow. Okay. So.
So crazy.
So crazy. But you know what? Let's stop talking about this. Anywho. I'm very happy. I'm very happy for you guys, and I really think it's gonna be a great moment, no matter what. No matter what, it's still gonna be a great moment, and I'm excited for you guys. I'm very excited, and my heart goes out to the people who really wanted to go, because there were some really great Rangers who really wanted to go to this, and I don't know why they wouldn't figure it out. Like, figure out your budget, dude, because this person said yes, and this person's going to add so much to this reunion. Like, the reunion would have been, not that it's not going to be off the chain, but it could be so much more off the chain if they would just loosen up the wallet a little bit. Not even a little bit, just give them what you offered them and keep pushing, you know? I don't know. Crazy.
It's all crazy to me.
It's all crazy. Well, it's all crazy.
And it's basically, again, like another metaphor is minimum wage. I guess it's not really a metaphor. But it'd be like somebody going back to their job and not getting minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why kids can't get this through their head.
Oh, my God. Go on TMZ right now. It says Black Power Ranger boycotting reunion in support of Blue Buddy. In support of Blue Buddy. Which, Walter and David are close. I don't even know if this is true, but it's hilarious.
Oh, I thought they were talking about you.
No, it says Black Ranger. I wasn't Black Ranger.
Oh, I thought you meant like Black Girl. Sorry.
Yeah.
I guess I'm racist now.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, they couldn't have gotten better pictures?
Yeah. So... yeah, so it's funny. But you know what? Hey, on to the next thing. Oh, man. I love it. I love it.
Why does it, like, not say you? Like, it just talks about the original cast?
Yeah, it's just the originals. Like, you know, it's just the original. I was the original.
It says Green Ranger in Jason David Frank. Red Ranger, maybe. Austin St. John went on to be EMT firefighter. Pink Ranger, maybe. Amy Jo Johnson, still working actress. Blue, out. Black, out. Yellow, out. Tui Trang. Wait, how do you say her name?
Tui Trang.
Tui Trang died in car accident in 2001. Like, they're assholes.
They're not nice. Like, the way they write their stories are not nice. Like, I was just reading over the headlines, and it's, like, so mean. Like, TMZ can really be mean. I actually watch the show because they make it funny on TV, but if you just read the headlines, Rob Kardashian, I'm not a big loser yet. Wade Robson says he'll never forget. He never forgot, but denied specifics of trial. He denied the specifics at the trial. Let's see what else. You know, it's just, like, crazy. It's, like, mean headlines. Kanye West rants about paparazzi. I'm not a celebrity.
Is it bad, though? Like, I don't know. Like, I love TMZ. I used to watch the show, too. So it's just kind of like,
Yeah.
Like, it's weird when you know, kind of semi-weird
not,
in that
it's
weird.
It's funny, but until it's you or until it's, some, like, your friend or until it's somebody you love and those mean things are being said or those or just the speculation of it all is being said.
Like,
just,
I
kind of
want to,
you know,
just call TMZ
like
myself.
Right.
And be like, you're wrong. Like, you don't even know. Oh,
yeah.
My God. Oh, my God.
Lord.
Did you
beat a child?
That?
What's going on? Yeah, what was that?
No, I dropped a baby. No, I'm just kidding. I dropped a whole big-ass tub of strawberries all over the place.
Oh, no.
Quality show here, kids. Quality show.
Pull them up. 5-second rule. 5-second rule.
No, quality show here.
I think it's just hurtful, and it's, but you know what's great about it? I know, of course, that I know David well, and I know he is not even giving one, like, he's not even caring what anybody says, because he knows how great of a person he is. He's been such a great friend to me, and there was years we hadn't seen each other just because, you know, life happens and things happen, and, you know, it's just crazy, and now that we've reconnected, he's such a great friend. Like, I can text him, and he always has something wonderful to say to me. Same thing for Kat. Me and Kat are such great friends. She's always like, hi, my lovely Beyonce. And, you know, she's so awesome. Just yesterday, Jason Frank texted me and was just, like, being silly on my phone. And is such a sweet guy. And, you know, I mean, all of them. Like, me and Johnny are still great friends. Me and Steve are still great friends. It's just, you know, one thing I'll say about the show is it's brought me the best of friends. I had an email. Me and Narvi were emailing each other this week. He's such an amazing person. So for me, I mean, it's so, like, I have such fond memories of being with them, you know? I don't know. It's so great.
It's
funny.
Mm-hmm. TMZ, gotta love it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I love the fact that, but they haven't picked up on you being like, I'm not going back because they cheat.
They said that about me?
No.
Was that the only thing that they heard? Was that I said they were JR teeth?
No.
Everybody knows they're teeth. That's not
I'm telling
different.
You. That's going to be the quote, because somebody's going to leak
oh,
this, I'm sure, to them. And they're going to be pulling clips from this and like, oh, Karen Ashley says the bond is cheap. Co-host says $3.4 million and calls fan moron. Like, that's going to be the headline.
I did not call anybody a moron. That's
I did.
That's not right. Oh, okay. Yeah, it wasn't me. I didn't call nobody. I didn't call. I don't care. I like the fact that you guys have such strong opinions, and you guys obviously can say whatever you want to say. I don't care. I
well,
just felt like I needed to say something.
Again,
like, I felt like I needed to protect us.
Like, it's very frustrating to me getting to know you. Like, well, obviously I know you now. Like, you know, our phones are attached at the hip because we're bicoastal. Not bisexual, bicoastal. Get it right.
Oh, God.
you know, and just getting, like, Catherine is such a sweetheart. And they, like, they're all so nice. So it's like they just don't deserve this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just kind of sad for me. And I don't like
right.
when people pick on, you know, people I know-ish, weird, in that weird semi-whatever way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just not cool.
Yeah. It's not. But such is life. I mean, at the end of the day, we'll all have different, everybody has a journey, and everybody has a situation. And every individual, you'll face, you know, you'll face a crossroads in your life where it's like, you know, maybe it's at a job and you feel like you should be paid more. Or maybe you're at a job and you feel like you deserve the promotion more than someone else. Or maybe you're in a relationship with a man, a woman, whoever, and you're like, it's just respect. I deserve respect. I deserve
what are you trying
the respect
to say?
I give you. What? I'm just saying. I'm just trying to kind of, everyone comes to this place in their life at some point where they have to take a stand for themselves. And they have to know what they're worth. And they have to go, you know what? I'm not gonna do that. You're not, you know, I don't wanna do something that I should be expected to do. I wanna do something because I'm appreciated. I wanna be able to make the money I should deserve. I wanna be treated great. I want it to be a happy situation. Like, you take a stand in your life. And whether it be a job, a personal relationship, a family member, whatever, there's gonna be a time, and I hope that all of you have the strength to take a stand for yourself. Because you should. You know, I'm a believer in God, and, you know, there's nothing in the Bible that says you should be a doormat. There's nothing in the Bible that says you should be treated badly or that you should feel horrible about yourself. You should always feel good about yourself, and you should always be able to, you know, look in the mirror and be happy at the person you've become and be happy with what you're doing. So I say, you know, it's just one of those crossroads, and it wasn't that huge of a crossroad for me. I kind of was just like, I don't know. I don't think I can do this. And that was kind of it. If they would have counteroffered or said, you know, well, maybe you don't want to do it for this, but if you could do it for this and give us something, I might have considered it. But it wasn't like they've yet to even reply. They've yet to reply. So that's how much respect they have for, you know, me. And they don't even feel the need to even say, no thanks, lady, or even just anything, like no reply, nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing. And I hope none of you ever get treated that way, because it's not very nice.
Mm-mm. And it's just
not.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't treat a human that way, especially somebody that made you rich. Well, I'm sure he was probably rich before, but made him a billionaire. You know, you just don't do that to people that, like, helped you succeed. Like, why wouldn't you want to take care of these actors that helped you become, you know, part of an elite person of wealth?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why wouldn't you take, you know, that's very hard for me to understand, because you know me. Mama gets the money, I'm like, who needs $50? So to see somebody with that kind of money, to be in the position that he's in, it's just, I don't know. I just don't even understand it.
Right.
Really?
Anywho, anyways, have you seen, I don't even know why I'm going to this story of all stories, because this story makes me even madder than the whole supposed thing.
Oh, God.
The guy, you know, I'm obsessed. I'm so obsessed with the girls who were kidnapped in Ohio. there have been nights I haven't even been able to sleep because I can't stop thinking of them. And I just go, what do you do? Like, what can you do? What can a person do to stop this from happening? Like, I just don't even know how this could have happened or how it happened for 10 years. Like, what do? You know? And the pieces of the puzzle that these girls now have to put together, like, to put your life back together after that kind of torment. Like, they said their reports that there were chains in the basement with dog collars. Like, he had them chained up. And this guy, it came out yesterday that he's actually going to say he's going to plead not guilty. How do you plead not guilty?
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding. And his lawyer had the nerve of going on record and saying that he's not the monster that we all are, that the media is portraying him to be. Like, how are you not the monster? Like, these people were these women were kidnapped. They were held. Their families suffered. Their families thought they were dead. Their families hoped that they were alive. They were raped. They, you know, were forced to do things. They couldn't see the sunshine in 10 years. I mean, how are you not a monster? I don't know. I don't know what the definition of a monster is, but that's pretty much my definition. My definition of a monster is that man, that guy's face. You know, it's like, you know, these girls, the one girl had a baby. The other one supposedly had multiple miscarriages because you punched her in the stomach. I mean, come on, dude. How are you not guilty?
Yeah, like, you're a monster.
Yeah. Like, so bad. So bad. But,
like,
yeah.
Like, and how do you plead not guilty to that? Do you really think anybody in their right mind is not going to convict you? It's not like the person's dead. Like, there's three witnesses.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even comprehend it. Like, are you really that
right.
stupid? Like, you don't have a chance in hell. Like, the only
right.
thing he's doing is costing us money.
Right. Like, oh, like, why do we have to go to trial for this? We all know, dude, just say guilty and spare everybody, spare us the details. Because now that there's going to be a trial, all the gruesome details are going to come out.
Right, well, it's almost like
girls
making those girls go through torment again.
Huh?
It's like making them relive the whole thing. So I feel like it's probably his way of, like, getting them one more time.
Yeah, it's like that. Arias girl, like, whoever, what was her name? The girl just got convicted of murder. It's like, why put everybody through all this when we all know? Like, we all know you did it. And then she said she did it. But why? Why even say self-defense? Like, why even say that? You know?
Well, because they're hoping it'll be Casey Anthony again.
God. Oh, well, thank God it wasn't. Oh, my gosh. You know what? I'm so excited to turn this, to get off of that, because I can't only want to talk about that. You know what I can't wait for? What I'm so excited to see this week is Star Trek. I think it opens this week.
Oh,
I'm
really?
I'm so excited. Yes! Did you not see the first one? The first one was great.
No, I love it. I love it. I just haven't been paying attention to when it's coming out. Do you know if it's coming out in 3D? Because you know that's important to me.
Yes, you know it is. Oh, absolutely it is. Yeah, it comes out. What's the exact date? It's supposedly this week. It's like this summer has been great so far. Because think about it. So far, we had, we had the Iron Man. Now we had Great Gatsby, which I still haven't seen, so I'm behind a week. We have Star Trek, and then the week after is the Fast and the Furious, which I have tickets to the pre-screening. I'm going to be seeing that on Thursday. Oh, by the way, I can't do the show. I can't do the live show because I'm going to go to a pre-screening of the Fast and the Furious.
I hate you.
I'm so sorry. I'm so excited. Like, so far, the summer movies have been off the chain. I am like, every weekend, it's like a good movie. It's
See?
A good movie.
And this is why I'm bitter, too. Because maybe if a
why?
Certain show paid you, offered you a little more money, you could afford to fly me out to be your date.
If I were to get offered more money, I would have flown you out here to see the best screening of Fast and Furious with me. And did I tell you, I get free popcorn. And that's like the best part.
I hate you.
I'm sorry. Yes, I would hate me too. If I were you, I would hate me too. Quoting the remarkable Miss Lil' Kim herself, if I was you, I would hate me too.
Mm-mm. No,
that was the best rap line in the history of rap lines. Like, she just called all those hating, all them haters. If I was you, I would hate me too. I love Little Kim. Little Kim, where are you? Where are you, Little Kim?
Nobody
can
find her.
I don't think I recognize her.
Because her face is so fucked up.
Oh, why did she do that? That hurts my feelings. I thought she was looking, I thought she was so cute. Like when she did, you know, no matter what people say. You know that one song she did?
Yeah.
We got it going on. Like, she was so pretty. And, like, she had some plastic surgery. That's fine. If you feel like you need to tweak a little stuff, that's
but
cool.
But now, what's
her,
is she, what is she?
What do you mean?
Like, what's her heritage?
She's
you know?
Black.
Like,
she's black?
Just, well, I don't know if she's, like, just black or she's Mexican.
Maybe, I don't know.
Korean.
She's New York, so you know New York. And New Yorkers could be,
yeah,
could be black, you could be Haitian, you could, I mean, there's so many different,
is there
you
really,
know,
can you think of any other black woman that's had plastic surgery? Because I can't. So this is the
Janet
other thing
Jackson.
I can't buy.
LaToya
well, that
Jackson.
Doesn't, they don't count. they just don't count. I can't even get into it. I can't even get into that. The Jacksons, they just don't count as people.
I mean, more people have plastic surgery than you think. It's just, not everybody
I just feel
gets
like black women are smarter,
I mean,
and, like, you age so much better. Like, you still could go play a teenager in a movie. Like, that's the part that kills me.
But what's funny is that people, you know, people just age differently, and people just, I think there are people who, when they start getting the little wrinkles and stuff, some people celebrate that. And then some people go, oh, no, I'm going to go get me some, you know, fillers and some, I'm going to go get some Botox or something. And that's fine. But I think when it gets to the point where you have multiple surgeries and you then change the look of your face, that's
are you
where
trying
it
to come
to
out
me.
Of the closet and say that you've had some work done?
No, I've never had any work done. I put that on everything I love.
Are those your real breasts?
Yeah, they are, and I hate them.
I feel like that
one
was just
thing
a Howard
I would
Stern.
Do. One thing I would do. People ask me all the time because they're so big. What I would do is No, seriously, I get the. Are those fake? And I was like, why would I make them this big if they were real? If I had a choice, it would not be. I would not have a double D. I would not have a double D if I had a choice.
I don't even think they look that big.
They are double D's, homeboy. Double D's.
I don't know, maybe. It's,
yeah.
I just,
go
you know, I've got my friends that are like, double D's is like their goal size. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got
mm-hmm.
a few friends that are like G's or whatever. You know, like, they've got to custom make them and, like, ship them in from, like, a tenting company. They're bras.
Yeah. No, they're double D's. Double D's, and it's not right.
I think they're nice.
It's just not right. You know who they had on here? I you know me. I just Googled black women who have had plastic surgery.
That's a short list, isn't it?
No, there's Little Kim. There's Nene Leakes, supposedly. There's, who else?
I'm not talking nose jobs. Like, Little Kim changed her whole face. Like, she doesn't even look human.
Most women I know have boob jobs, so does that count?
No, I'm not counting that.
Count?
No. Because I
so,
just...
Okay, so what counts? Nose jobs, I think if you change your nose, that changes your face.
Well, okay,
your nose
I
is
mean,
in the middle
right.
of your face.
But I mean, like, because did they change it because they had a deviated septum, they had to get a fix? So they're like,
no.
You know.
A lot of people just didn't like the way their nose was shaped, and they changed it.
Okay, but
they
I mean the whole...
They got
I guess I'm more thinking of, like, she looks like her face has been pulled and just...
Right. She had facelift, an eyelift, a cheek.
Like
amazing things. Like, it's, like, scary.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, a nose job to me isn't even that serious. Like, I almost feel like that's second nature at this point in life. But I just don't know many black women that have had a facelift or their eyes lifted. That, you know, serious work because they don't need it. Like, it's a little jealousy.
Is it? What would you have done?
Me? Oh, honey.
In the window. What would you have done? You're the only one talking to me.
Girl. Well, shut up, bitch. Well, okay. Y'all better get a pen out because it's going to be a list. Okay. First thing I would do is go get my chopper fixed. okay? And a little gastric bypass, and then a little tummy tuck, a little liposuction, and then I'd have them install them fake abs in me. And then I'd have my varicose veins
moved.
The fake abs. You know, they give you abs in 3 minutes that you can't get in 3 years, honey.
Oh, the fake abs. I thought you said a fake ass. I was like, you want an ass?
Actually,
oh, okay.
I don't really have an ass. Like, it's completely flat. I don't remember when I was skinny.
So we're doing a whole full body reconstruction on you.
Yeah.
You want abs, like, you want an ass.
And I have, you know, like, above my eyelids, you know, like my eyes sag, like I've got that fat or whatever, you know, that hangs over your eyelids.
If you lost weight, that would change. Like your
No, because even when I was, like, wicked skinny, no, it wasn't in my family.
And my face has, like, I feel like my face is skinny. Like, I've got a skinny face right now. Like, I need to take a million pictures because my face is skinny. I got skinny face.
I do love when I have skinny face. But, like, you know, after you spent so many years being so overweight, like, you have flab. Like, I used, when I was skinny, like, it's kind of gross. But I could, like, pull my neck skin on both sides out.
Mm-hmm.
And I had wings. Like, it was huge. Like, I could pull it out and shake it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, you know, just XX, like, it was nuts. So it's like, man, I want all that removed.
Well, yeah, I mean, but see, that to me is just, you're just trying to make it, I don't know. Well, I guess people who have plastic surgery, they're all trying to make it better. Like, you just want to make it better, whatever you feel better is.
I mean, let me redo this honestly, though. Honestly, though, like, I probably wouldn't have anything done. Like, I'd get, you know, my teeth and whatever. But I probably actually, honesty, if I was really being honest and not playing vain on the radio show, I probably wouldn't actually have anything done. Just because I think that there's such a high risk with a lot of stuff that it's just not safe.
Right. They've got a before and after picture of Kim Kardashian. I never thought she had plastic surgery, but it looks like she had her nose done, and it looks like she had her eyes done. Like
her eyebrows are too perfect.
Well, eyebrows, you can that's makeup. That's just having a good makeup artist. I think
her face doesn't move.
I didn't realize, though, like, she had, like, her nose, and looks like she may have had something done to her cheeks and maybe an eye lift. Like, she's had some, and she's too young. Why would you do that? She's so young.
Well, it's like that. What's that one crazy white girl there?
Who?
Oh, she was on that VH1 show or MTV or
and
something.
And for those of you who are new listeners, Jeffrey's white, so he can say, who's that crazy white girl? I think some people, I don't know if they don't know who you are. You sound like a black woman, Jeffrey.
Oh, well, I am. You can call me Watusi Jenkins. Thank you.
He dreams of being a black woman.
You
should have been Madea. You sure you should have.
I'm telling you, that son of a bitch owes me money. He stole my shit. Because everybody, I cannot tell you, when Diaries of a Mad Black Woman came out, I probably didn't see it for a year after it came out on DVD. So many people came up to me because they saw my stage show, you know, at the bar, and they were like, oh, my God, we saw you in a movie. And, it, like, after, like, the first, you know, fucking 10 times somebody says that to you, you're like, oh, let me guess, Diaries of a Mad Black Woman. They're like, yeah. So then I watched it, and I'm like, this motherfucker owes me residuals.
He stole my show.
Maybe he was in one of those
or was it Syracuse gay nightclub.
Maybe, because I'm like, that bitch is wearing moo-moos too. I'm like, this is bullshit. Like, he's got my shit.
How dare he?
I know,
some
it's son of a bitch.
Like, on some of these before and after pictures on Google, they needed a little something. Like, I can see why they did what they did, because, no, but I'm just saying, they wanted a more streamlined face, and with the whatever they had done, it gave them that. And they don't look bad. They actually look great. Like, you know, I just think when you manipulated your face to look like, what made me mad, I used to love Michael Jackson. You know me, I love Michael. I don't care what they say about him. I love
crazy
him.
Crazy white lady.
Yeah, but when he turned from a black man to a white lady, there is something wrong. That is now mutilation to me.
Right.
I just go, oh my god, is he white?
Well,
is
on
he,
that crazy
his
white lady.
Face is different.
Like, he was good looking
and
before. Like, he was a good looking man, and then he was an ugly white lady. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, because see, I understood when he was, like, younger, he had a wider nose, and maybe he didn't like that. Maybe that's not the face you wanted to have. So then he got himself, like, around the Thriller time. He looked great. He had slimmed his nose down. He had, you know, he looked like a handsome dude. And then all of a sudden, his skin was white, and his nose was, like, even skinnier. Like, it wasn't even normal. It was just, like, the one bone. Like, how is that attractive, the one bone?
He really does look like the cartoon of Peter Pan. Like, you can't deny the resemblance of his face and the fact that he has Neverland Ranch. I mean, like, let's just be honest. Like, I think the dude went fucking, he was supposed to go right, and he took a hard left. Like, he just went batshit crazy.
At the
time, it was probably the only thing he could really control in his life.
Right. Oh, you know what it is? It's the end of the show, Jeff.
Oh, all right.